ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. President Trump says the U.S. will not levy additional punitive measures against Saudi Arabia over the killing of Jamal Khashoggi. In a statement today, the president says that the U.S. does not condone the killing, but that foolishly, canceling $110 billion in arms sales would only mean that Saudi Arabia would go elsewhere to buy them. A man who fatally shot his ex-fiancée and two others at a Chicago hospital was kicked out of the city's fire department academy after threatening a female cadet. A spokesman for Chicago Fire says they told Juan Lopez he'd been disciplined. Following the 2014 threats, he was eventually fired. Lopez fatally shot Dr. Tamara O'Neill Monday after demanding she return her engagement ring. He also killed a responding officer and a pharmacy worker. On Wall Street, everything in the red today. Again, the Dow down 541, NASDAQ down 130, S&P down 50. More at SRNnews.com.
Our morning clouds will make way for afternoon sun today. Our high temperature, 72 degrees. This evening will be mostly clear. Only a 1 in 10 chance of rain tonight. Overnight, the low 51. And for tomorrow, sunny conditions and cooler. The high tomorrow, 69 degrees.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I am Brad Sykes. I'm here with my good buddy Doug McCary on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving week. Hard to believe, but I'm excited about it. How about
unless
you, Doug?
You're at Disney.
Unless you're at Disney.
If you're at Disney, it's not Thanksgiving. They just skip Thanksgiving.
They just
right
hop right over it. Exactly. Well, hey, sorry I had to bail on you yesterday, but I did have a chance to listen to the second half of the show, the broadcast, and I'm glad we've decided to tackle this topic. And it just happened to be what was next in the scriptures.
Well, you know? It was, and it follows on the heels of forgiveness.
But you know, Doug, I'm always thankful that this could be a topic you could very easily maneuver around. You know what I mean? You ever seen that happen where people?
Well, that happens a lot.
You're going through a book of the Bible, and you're listening. You know it's coming, and then they just somehow, I don't know, maybe there's a topical sermon that happens that day, and they don't deal with the issues that are really impacting a culture in our society today, and that being marriage and divorce.
Well, you remember, I don't know if you heard the very last part of the program yesterday. Did you hear that question about multiple marriages in the Old Testament? Why did God allow it seemingly in the Old Testament and not now? Did you hear that from Dawn?
I did
Dawn?
Not, so I was probably...
We had a call. We had a caller named Dawn that called in, and she says, you know, what do you do? You know, with the fact that in the Old Testament, they had all these wives, you know, they had multiple wives. And so that's
and some were considered
that's
godly
why,
men.
So you must have known Dawn was going to call. And that's why you ducked out. But, you know, in the New Testament, Jesus is very clear that when he quotes from Genesis, that a man and woman are to leave their father and mother and they two become one flesh. And I think it's a unique union between one man and one woman. Now, in that day or in that culture, they were very patriarchal. They were very communal. In fact, women were very marginalized. And if women did not have a husband, they had a very hard time surviving. No protection, no provision financially. And so it was... I think he tolerated it. You know, one person asked me that at SWAT, and, you know, if it was wrong, why did God allow these good men to do that? Well, why does he allow good people today to get away with sin? Because he's merciful. Just because God doesn't stamp everybody out in the middle of their sin doesn't mean he agrees with their sin. And that's kind of the answer I gave. But I do think that it's clear that from the beginning, God made one man to be with one woman. And the fact that Jesus reiterated that, I think, and we see that as a standard for church leadership, a husband of one wife, to be an elder. If you go back to Genesis 4, we talked about Lamech. You remember that?
I do.
Lamech, we talked about forgiveness. 77 times he talked about he would be avenged for killing somebody. But if you go back, he was a son of Cain. He was in that line. And Lamech was a husband to two wives. At least we know two. We know of Ada and Zillah. Those were his two wives. Mm. And so this is really the first occasion of polygamy in the Bible, to go back to Genesis 4. So this was not something that just popped on the scene later. But it's not in the godly line of Seth. Did you notice that?
Right.
Yep. It's in the ungodly line of Cain. It was always God's standard for marriage to be monogamous. But because of culture, God did allow this developing process. But a lot of times today, I remember being in India and we were doing a seminar and a guy said, the Bible talks only about, as a pastor, I should only have one wife. But my tribe, we have, three wives. Like, I have three wives. What do I do? Do I put these two away? See, when you're a missionary, you go into settings like that where people have not had the Bible and they haven't had those background and the monogamous relationship. And he's got multiple wives. So what do you tell him? What do you tell him when he comes to you and he says, does it mean I'm disqualified to be a pastor in my community? Because I have multiple wives now. That was what his culture did. He didn't know the Bible. He never even knew who Jesus was, didn't know anything about the Old Testament. And so these women are dependent on him in that culture, just in the same way they were in that old. And so they can't just be thrown out and ignored and left to themselves. That wouldn't be loving, Or even who does he pick? Does he pick the first one? Does he pick the oldest one? Does he pick the youngest one?
Well, so obviously you're bringing this up because this has happened.
Yeah.
This happens.
So what I'm saying is there has to be some toleration there in understanding, just in the same way God was merciful. So I tried to give Dawn this answer, at least that the best I can determine is that God allowed it for the mercy of not wiping everybody out in the same way that he told Adam and Eve he was going to kill them, but he didn't kill them right away. But when you go in with the gospel to a culture that is polygamous, you have to allow a time for that to kind of wane and the younger generation to grow up. So my answer to him was, you are an older brother in this community. You're one of the first believers. You know the Bible, and I would say that you teach until there's someone younger who can take your place, who is the husband of but one wife, because that's what the Bible establishes as a standard. Otherwise, you display a standard that is not the biblical standard.
Yeah.
So I think God had to allow for it back then to kind of grow, but again, it did not come from the Seth line. It came from the Lamech or Cain line.
Interesting. I was looking at Genesis 2:18. I think you kind of brought this up yesterday, that Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper, not helpers.
Yeah.
A helper.
That's right.
And he didn't fashion for the man multiple women. He fashioned one woman. And I think that we see that throughout Scripture. Yeah, it is interesting, that question that Dawn raised yesterday. I did not hear that. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. But, there were godly men in the Scriptures who had multiple wives.
There were, and God, I think God's ultimate desire is monogamy, and Jesus makes that clear mm-hmm. when he talks about a man leaves his father and mother and clings to her. They become one flesh. So, you know, so as we look at this today, this passage in Matthew, I think we look at it with the understanding that God's standard hasn't changed. Even though our culture has changed, even though our highest court in the land wants to redefine what is an acceptable form of marriage in our culture, that does not mean it's an acceptable form of marriage for God, because marriage should be sacred and permanent. And it's an institution that God established to be the base cell, or the very nucleus.
Yeah.
Hey, we said that right on key.
You mentioned that last week, yeah. And I made those notes that you know, the marriage is the nucleus to the family, and the family is the nucleus to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's a breakdown in the marriage, there's going to be a breakdown in the family. I'm literally just got off the phone with a good buddy of mine who is going through that. Some struggles in the marriage creates struggles in the family. And when there's a breakdown in the marriage, there's going to be a breakdown in the family. And as that happens, there goes the community.
Well, yeah. And so if you just relax the standard and you say, you know what, this standard we don't like anymore. We have a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking thousands of years, you know, past. You go from Genesis all the way through Malachi, mm-hmm. and it says God hates divorce. It does not say God hates the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
He hates divorce. His standard of marriage is one of permanence and one of sacredness and one of value. And our culture looks for the out. It looks for the exception. And that's really what was going on in the culture that Jesus was dealing with. So it's nothing new. It's not like it's something new. And that's what Jesus was addressing. They had these two schools of thought. We talked about it yesterday. Shammai, who was this one rabbi, said that you could only divorce for adultery. And the other rabbi, Hillel, said you can divorce for any reason at all. And so the people obviously liked which one better.
Yeah.
They liked the one any reason at all. Why? Because we always lean toward what best makes us, gives happy. Us more freedom and, mm-hmm. and doesn't restrict us in any way. And you go, the disciples even go, well, man, that's harsh. Mm. Remember they said that?
Yep.
At the end, it's better not to even marry. and Jesus said, not everybody can take that, because it's also better not to burn by committing, you know, fornication, mm-hmm. adultery, and, you know, sexual immorality and all those things. So anyway, when we come back, I'll have you read Matthew 19, 1 through 12, and we'll jump in and we'll look at these four reasons why marriage should be permanent and sacred. And as we go to break, I want you to think about your own view of marriage. What is your view of marriage? Is it more influenced by culture or the Bible? Mm. That's a question we have to wrestle with.
Mm. Good question. Glad you joined us today here at SWAT Radio. Doug, you got big plans for the weekend?
Actually, I'm leaving Friday to go to Israel. So,
and you got family in? And,
yeah, my mom and dad. I'm trying to get them to come to the radio program tomorrow.
Yeah.
So anyway, my brother's in town, and my nephew, my niece, and took them to Maple Street Biscuits a while ago.
Oh, man.
Had a big old cinnamon biscuit and some good old chicken biscuits.
Pretty strong there.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I did jumping jacks today. So,
Boy, that's good stuff.
Well, glad you joined us today on this rather interesting topic. I'm glad we're going to tackle it. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 19. We're going to look at the first 12 verses when we come back. If you have a question for us, you can send that to ask@swatradio.com. You can call us 904-401-1413. We probably won't take calls till the third or fourth segment. If you're outside the Jacksonville area, you can call us at 1-844-777-7928. And we'll catch you on the other side of the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Back to SWAT Radio, Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, and Michael W. Smith.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, MW, man. Michael W. Smith. I like that song. Emmanuel, that's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Well, I'm really enjoying playing these songs.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Get started early. I'm not missing. I'm excited about Thanksgiving, and it's probably one of my favorite holidays.
Well, I have to come clean, man. Yesterday was a, well, it's been an incredibly tough few days, Bradley. I haven't shared a whole lot with you because you've kind of been here and you had to leave yesterday. It was an awesome weekend of ministry, but as you know, right before I left, I was diagnosed with the shingles.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't need a doctor to tell me that. It was already evident in my body and just the, you know, the little bit of itching and pain, which is nothing more than, by the way, folks, shingles are not contagious unless you've never had the chicken pox. If you've had the chicken pox, it's in your system already.
Oh, really?
So you can't catch shingles. You can catch chicken pox because that's what it is chicken pox virus. But all that to say, so that's the way my weekend started. So then I come home and find out that one of my grandchildren has hand, foot, and mouth, which is a virus, a nasty little virus that spreads and is very contagious. And then yesterday I'm at the house, you know, just waiting to come to the radio station for the program, and Lori gets rear-ended, and of course, you know, she's got a mm-hmm. bad neck and from an accident 3 years ago, and so she's having to deal with a car. And I go to the scene, and she's not terribly shaken up. I mean, she's okay. No ambulance or anything. She said, I'm fine. I'm just, you know, just a jolt from the back. And she wasn't in a lot of pain or anything. And so while we're there, we locked the keys in the car. I shut the door, and for some reason, the doors were locked.
You told me that.
So, yeah. So she brings me here. She goes back to the house, then comes back with a coat hanger for me to try to get in there. I can't get in there, so we ultimately get a locksmith to come out. When we get a locksmith to come out, we get in there, and the car won't start. And so I call the Chevy place. They say it is a security protocol where it shuts down, and I try to reset it. It won't work. Take the battery cables off, put them back on, and then it just goes black. Total, nothing happens, no electricity on anything. And they're saying, yeah, it's a security protocol. You have to have it towed. So while we wait for a tow truck, we walk over to BJ's and grab dinner, you know, and Lori said, well, God must have wanted us to have a date night, you know. But in the midst of that, I have to make a confession that, you know, we're on the way here. Lori was obviously shaken up by that. We're running late for the program. You had told me that you might have to bug out early. So I'm thinking about all trying to get the car, all this stuff in my head, and I get snappy with her just because in the heat of the moment, right? Mm. And then I realize this is not the way to handle this. This is wrong. It's not her fault she had a wreck or somebody rear-ended her. She didn't have a wreck. Somebody rear-ended her. It's not her fault that the door just locked. I don't know what happened to the door, but when I shut the door, I didn't lock the door. It just for some reason locked with the keys in. So why am I taking it out on her? It's because a lot of times when we're stressed or irritated, we don't. But as I was driving down the road, I was thinking how awesome my wife is and how much she's put up with me over the years. And I actually was thinking about our situation with everything going on and what the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances. And I mean, you know, that's very challenging for us when you go through difficulties. And she is, you know, she may not get to go to Israel with us tomorrow or Friday. And that's heartbreaking for me and heartbreaking for her because of what happened with her neck. And, you know, the thing about giving thanks, we're coming into Thanksgiving, and a lot of times we tend to only give thanks when things are good in our mind. And I'm not saying you want to thank God for pain in your life or you want to thank him for a terrible diagnosis or some terrible relationship that's happening. But, you know, when Jesus was in the garden and he was sweating and drops of blood and they cried out, I mean, I'm sure that was a painful time for him. You know, and Paul, when he cried out because he had a thorn in his flesh, there was sorrow there. So, but Paul is the one that wrote this, give thanks in all circumstances. Even Job said, though he slay me, still I will praise him. And so the reason we give thanks is not necessarily because of our circumstances, but because whatever happens to us here on earth is nothing compared to the glory we will receive in heaven because of the great sacrifice Jesus made. And
well, I think there's not to
no, that's okay.
Interrupt. I think you're, you know, the reality is I'm going to teach in a couple of weeks on trials, you know, the fact about, you know, James says, consider them pure joy. Well, I mean, what is it that brings joy to your life? You know, you got grandkids, you've got, you know, joy is not circumstantial. Joy is really rooted in something far deeper than that. And James goes on to say that, you know, consider pure joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you would be complete. That idea, complete, if we were to look at, you know, a rear end, you know, crash, locking your keys in the car, having to get a locksmith, now having to get a tow truck, all those things, how do we shift our minds to remember we're incomplete, we're complete in Christ, but we are a work in progress. He who began a good work in you will complete it. Okay, so we are a work in progress.
We are.
And that we are in the process. We are sanctified, but we are being sanctified. Maybe that's something we need to talk about day here.
I mean, here's the thing, you know, especially in light of marriage. I was thinking about the you know, we talked about yesterday, why is marriage so difficult? Because it was corrupted when basically sin entered the world. And man can't blame woman because he was just as culpable.
He was there.
Yes. And so when sin entered the world, it created this consequence where a woman desire is to rule over her husband or be over her husband, and the husband's desire is to squelch that by ruling over her. And sometimes men have not been very kind in doing that, and so it creates all this friction. But God says the original design was one man and woman, but then he says, Jesus said, God commanded the man to stick like glue to his wife in relational loyalty. That means more important than any other relationship in the whole earth, except for your relationship with God himself. So you think about it, a lot of times when we don't show that relational loyalty, we don't see our wives as God's gift to us, or our husbands as God's gift to us, as you know, when somebody said, well, I married the wrong person, you know, mm-hmm. you and I have both known people who've done that. When you put the ring on the finger, they become the right person. They become that person that God's going to use in the crucible of forgiveness for you, mm-hmm. and patience for you, and trusting in him for you. But a lot of times when we are prideful and we're not grateful to God for what he's given, we can tend to not be grateful for these people in our life or the circumstances. And that's why he says, give thanks about everything. Think about the last time you were genuinely grateful to somebody. Did you deserve what he or she did for you? Or was your gratitude motivated by your need and their grace? I mean, a lot of times, like I think about, you know, Tunch helping out with tickets for my brother. He didn't have to do that. It just created in me this incredible desire to want to do something for him, right? Mm-hmm. Because I was so grateful that he helped out. And one guy shares an illustration. He says, you know, if your car breaks down on your way to the office or wherever you're going, and you call a mechanic to tow it and repair it, if he fixes it, you pay him and you say thanks. But if you say thanks to him, you kind of paid him to do it, right?
Right, exactly.
He didn't have to, but let's say I break down and instead of a mechanic, Steve's driving by. Steve sees me and stops, and he says, oh, I can fix that, and he goes through and fix it. Do you think I'm going to have far more gratitude for Steve than I am the mechanic that I just mm-hmm. called to pay, who came out simply because, why? It's, well, because I don't.
Didn't cost you anything.
Yeah, it didn't cost me. I certainly didn't deserve it, though. It was just an act of grace. Mm-hmm. Steve came by and said, oh, I'll help you. He didn't get paid for it. It was just grace on his part and mercy on my part, because mercy is getting what we, you know, not getting what we deserve. I should have had to pay for that, but I didn't mm-hmm. have to. Mm-hmm. And so the greater our debt, the greater our gratitude. And I think it all boils down to that first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, and so all that to say, Brad, in the context of marriage, there's no coincidence that Matthew followed the teaching on forgiveness with this issue of marriage. And God's ideal for marriage is permanent and sacred. And if you're listening today and maybe you go, well, I've blown it. You know, I've already divorced someone. This is not about the issue of your divorce and you being disqualified in any way, shape, or form, because the issue is God's mercy covers divorce just like he does everything else. But his standard is permanence and sacredness. And we don't relax our standard of God because we want to make people feel better. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people did in the Bible, and it didn't work out too well.
That's not to say there shouldn't be repentance.
No, right. No.
There should be. That's clear.
No, there should be repentance. Mm-hmm. And in fact, maybe you were unbiblically divorced.
Right.
In other words, even if you were biblically divorced, I believe that God doesn't want you to get divorced even then, even if you have a reason. Mm-hmm. The only reason that he permitted a reason was why? Because of what? The hardness of heart.
Right. Right.
Of the people, mm-hmm. not to forgive. In fact, in the Old Testament, the reason you were given a new husband was because the old one was killed, or that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll talk more when we come back.
Yeah, I'll read. I said I was going to read it the last segment.
I know. So. We just got off on that. I'm sorry. I got us on that rabbit trail.
Good. It was good. Glad you've joined us today here at SWAT Radio. If you have a question for us regarding this topic, a lot of you may, ask at SWATradio.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. It is an unfortunate predicament to be in, but there is $110 billion on the line in an arms agreement. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo just spoke and backs up President Trump's statement. They without a doubt do not condone the death of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, but Pompeo says it is a mean, nasty world out there, and the importance of Saudi alliance is straightforward. And one that is absolutely vital to America's national security. Canceling the deal would only mean that Saudi Arabia would go elsewhere. Meanwhile, President Trump and First Lady Melania participated in the annual presidential turkey pardoning ceremony today at the White House in honor, says the president.
Thanksgiving is a time of great American traditions. And today we continue a very special one when a lucky turkey gets a presidential pardon.
And the pardon means that two turkeys, a 39-pound bird named Peas and a 41-pounder named Carrots, will get to live the rest of their lives very spoiled at a Virginia farm. Also at townhall.com, home construction increases slightly while groundbreakings for a single-family house declines again. Mike Kempen has the housing numbers for October.
The Commerce Department says home construction improved 1.5% last month, with the gains coming entirely from apartments. However, starts for single-family houses slipped nearly 2%. A sharp increase in mortgage rates has led to a decline in home construction since May. As a result, new home purchases have plummeted for the last 4 months, and the annual rate of new home sales has dropped 15% since May. Mike Hemp in Washington.
Global stocks are sinking as big tech companies continue to plunge while oil prices tumble, sending energy companies down right now on Wall Street. The Dow down, while 518, NASDAQ down 117, S&P down 47. More at townhall.com.
There's a disabled vehicle at the U.S. 301 Baldwin exit. Was blocking the right lane, but now there are emergency vehicles there on I-10 eastbound, blocking all the eastbound lanes. Also, an accident on I-95 southbound at the Fuller Warren Bridge, and another one on the south side on Phillips Highway southbound at the Walmart. Clouds around this afternoon, becoming partly cloudy tonight, low 48. Wednesday, sunny, high 70.
Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and bold. Oh, Holly Pound raising their sound, or Hill and Dale telling the tales. While people sing songs of cheer, Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry, merry, merry.
Well, welcome back to SWAT Radio. That is not Doug singing.
That's no.
Pentatonix.
Pentatonix with Carol of the Bells.
Man,
isn't that awesome?
So good. So good. Yeah. By the way, so you're leaving Friday.
Yes.
Black Friday.
That's a good day to leave.
It's a good day to leave.
Yes. It's a good day to leave.
So you'll be in line at the airport.
Yes.
While everybody else is in line at wherever.
Kohl's.
Yeah. Walmart, Target. Yeah. And heading to Israel for... a week, right? A little over a week.
Yeah, 9 days. Mm-hmm. So okay. I'm hoping Lori might get to go. We'll see.
Praying for that. And I know several people going on this trip, and it's going to be quite a blessing for them. I'm going to miss that.
I'm glad Tim Lusk is going. Tim, so I'm excited. He'll be over.
Chris Hayslip's going.
Chris Hayslip will be going.
Ronnie's going.
Hey, we need to pray for Chris's boy, too. He is... he's been under the weather, and just I need to lift him up with prayer as well. So Chris and Sally Hayslip's boy, John, Colin.
Colin.
Yeah, Colin. So, and also remember our brother Ross Carrier. Mm-hmm. Is he still battling cancer? And just remembering him and his family and all the people who have people that are sick. The holidays can be a tough time. So,
Well, thankful for our SWAT community out there. Those of you listening, those of you who come to the Bible studies every week, we'll lift these up in prayer.
Yes, please do. Well, you know, Brad, getting back to the marriage being permanent and sacred, Jesus is approached by Pharisees, and they ask him, is it okay only to, they make the assumption that it's okay to divorce there, which is a bad assumption. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is bringing him into the argument between Shammai and Hillel. And Jesus responds to them, have you not read? In other words, he takes them back to Scripture. And I'm going to have you read that passage again. In fact, don't read the whole thing, cause since we're only dealing with the marriage part. Just read Matthew 19:1-6. Just read those first six verses. And let's look at these four reasons that marriage should be sacred and permanent.
Yep. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. Now, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Verse 4, he answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate.
So God makes it very clear that marriage is supposed to be sacred. It's supposed to be permanent. And I just, again, think that we've really reduced marriage to a social contract with a blessing, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to do it in the church. We want a pastor to do it if you're Christian. But at the end of the day, the general attitude is, if it works out, you know, then I'll stick with it.
If I'm happy.
But let's talk about the vows for a second. You know, if you say the vows. Some people write their own vows now, and they kind of don't go with what traditional vows have been. But part of it is to love your spouse through sickness and in health,
and rich or poor,
in good times and bad times. Mm-hmm. And when you start going through the bad times, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where it really gets critical. And sometimes, let's face it, we go through difficult times in marriage, and it's a crucible for growing our patience, growing our dependence on God, and learning about our own flaws. And what I've seen a lot of times is people think that they're going to find, well, this is the wrong person, I'll go find the right one. But then they take the same problems that they encountered with that previous spouse, and they bring them into the new marriage, and they're continuing to deal, and they don't understand why. It's because they never deal with the issues. Mm. The bottom line is, there's no perfect spouse. Yeah. There's not a perfect husband. There's not a perfect wife.
The only perfect spouse is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, so as we go through this, and you know, he says one man and one woman. In the beginning, that's the way he made it. Genesis 1:26-29, male and female. It wasn't someone who thought they were a male and thought they were, it was a male biologically, a female biologically, not two females, not two males, not one male and three males. It was one male and one female was God's design. And Jesus goes back to that. And then he made this second statement that they leave to the man. A man leaves his father and his mother, and he what? He cleaves in some versions. I don't know. It just clings to. The idea is glue. You're glued together to the wife in relational loyalty. In other words, you're more loyal to your wife or your spouse than you are your parents. Now, that's clear, because he says a man leaves his mother and his father. That in this culture, Brad, that was huge, because relational loyalty in this culture, the parents, there were really no higher except, he says now, for marriage. And what he's saying there is that man has a responsibility to care for his wife, not to be cared for by his parents. Mm-hmm. And look at what's going on in our culture today. You hear comedians make jokes about it. You hear parents make jokes about it. How many kids are going back, young men going back, living with their parents instead of getting out in the world, you know, one being being out on their own, working hard, which is what we're supposed to do, and second, taking care of a wife so that they can recreate more faith community children that will reproduce the faith. And that's really, that's the purpose of the family unit, is to continue the faith to future generations. If you are a believer, married to a believer, you have children, you train them in the faith so that future generations can hear the gospel.
Well, I think it's two-part in that verse 5. You leave and you cleave.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to do both, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I think obviously, you know, there are times where maybe kids come back to live in the house for a season,
mm-hmm.
but a season turns into much longer sometimes.
Wow.
That is going to create problems.
Oh my goodness. It creates a lot of problems, doesn't it? You may be listening and you go, well, it doesn't always pan out that way. You know, it's not always a bad thing. Listen, when you start going away from God's design, you may not see immediate consequences,
mm-hmm.
but the longer you wait, the more severe those consequences become. And you think you're sometimes getting away with something, but they become very, very severe. And so it's really important when you know what God's standard is, if you've not kept that standard, to repent. To say, and that's just a biblical word, which means to turn and say, I don't think this is the way I want to go in my life anymore. God, please help me not to go this way. Because, Brad, the truth is we can't do it on our own. We don't have the position. And if you just try to get people to do it out of their human effort,
mm-hmm.
you're just being a legalist then.
And you're going to grow tired and weary.
You grow tired really quick. Really, really quick. And so... The whole thing is God wants us to be permanently and sacredly attached to this spouse in a relationally loyal way. And isn't it interesting that two of the Ten Commandments of God's law deal with the issue of loyalty? You shall not commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Two things for the husband to consider out of the Big Ten. I mean, those were, that was God's law, the moral law summed up. And they deal with this issue of relational loyalty. And, you know, Brad, it's easy sometimes to allow loyalty to other things overshadow that loyalty to your wife, mm-hmm. isn't it? Mm. Whether it's a job,
hobbies,
whether it's children, mm-hmm. even children
absolutely.
And, you know, Lori and I know you and Vicky have done the same thing. Our children know that the first loyalty within the human relationship on earth is our spouse, spouse. And, you know, for you with Vicky, my children know that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times,
I think one of the greatest gifts we can give our children apart from the gospel
mm-hmm.
is a marriage that is committed, that is a priority. your kids did sports. Mine did sports. We've had a number of guests on where we've gotten on the topic of sports, athletics with our kids.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I'm pro athletics for your kids until they get in the way of your marriage.
Yeah.
And boy, they do, Doug. I mean, we see it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I see men who spend more time playing golf than they do with their wives.
Mm.
I see guys doing more fishing than they do going out with their kids.
Listen, it doesn't mean that you have to leave. You can be in the home and still absent.
Well, absolutely. That's so true. Hey, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to join us, call us 904-401-1413.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
To SWAT Radio.
Didn't that just take you back to the field over in the Shepherd's Field in Bethlehem?
I cannot believe you just said that. Doug, I was thinking of two things. I was thinking of that. Remind me what that is called.
It's the
Shepherd's Field.
It was just called the Shepherd's Field.
But you're
over
looking
in Bethlehem.
Out over. I remember the caves.
Yeah,
going
isn't that,
those
isn't that
caves.
Cool? I mean, just thinking about well, how, know, that night.
What else I was thinking of, I think it was the last day we were there when we went, we were... where were we? You remember the church where we all started singing in there? And we were singing a Christmas song.
Yeah, I think it was Anne's Cathedral.
That's correct.
And at the Pool of Bethesda.
Pool of Bethesda.
And we just started singing. Wasn't that awesome?
Oh, man. There were so many. I'm so excited for those that are going to be making this trip, and it is going to be just such an amazing time.
Yeah, it's really, really an awesome place. And you know, if you've never been to Israel, you can go with us. I would love for you to go with us, but you don't have to. You can go. There's lots of people that lead groups over there. Where our next trip is going to be in January 2020. We've already got the dates for that trip. It might be a good Christmas gift. You can't wait to December of 19 to do it, because there's a lot of things that have to go on ahead of time. But the dates for that trip are January 2020, and it's over the Martin Luther King holiday. So we're going to leave on the 17th of January, and we will return on the 26th of January. So it's only four work days off. We leave on a Friday, and we come back on a Sunday. And I am just excited to be going this Friday, and I'm also excited to be leading that group as well, and would love for you to join us. Trip cost is between $400 and $4,500 per person, but that's pretty much all inclusive.
That pretty much covers everything.
And Brad, you remember the hotels, everything's awesome.
Food is great, hotels are good, and the company, just the tour itself Is Raid doing the
Raid's doing it? Yeah, I'm so excited to see our brother. In fact, there's some people over there right now who are going with us on this trip. They went early. They wanted to spend Thanksgiving in Galilee, so they went early. Yeah. So really, really awesome time.
Yeah,
so
that's gonna be great.
So, you know, Brad, as you read this, and remember going back, the Pharisees come up to Jesus. They're actually trying to trap him. Mm-hmm. Because they want him to go against the popular belief that Hillel was been putting out that you could divorce a woman for any reason. And they thought if he took the harsh position of, well, you know, you're not supposed to do that, that maybe Herod would get angry and do like he did with John the Baptist, mm-hmm. behead him. And Jesus says, have you not read? He goes back to the word. And again, I just want to emphasize, you know, we always emphasize this. God's word is either our authority or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
His word, his written revelation, we either live underneath that authority or we put it on a peer level with us and we decide to disobey because God wouldn't want us to be unhappy. How many times have you heard that? I've heard that so many times. Well, you know, God wouldn't really want me to be unhappy. Really? What about the disciples? What about the Apostle Paul? What about
his own son?
Oh, his own son. Yeah. I mean, so happiness is not the test of whether God would want you to do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the test. And I can assure you,
God wants you holy more than he wants you happy.
Yeah, he does. But I think true happiness, the true joy of a relationship with the Father, can only be experienced through obedience. Yeah. I think if you're disobedient, you're not going to experience, even if you think the earthly situation is going to produce something. So if you're listening, and let's say you're on the verge of saying, I'm done, I can't do this anymore, can I just ask you to step back? Sometimes it may be better to step back and to have a separation, to clear your heads, and you can separate without divorcing. You can pull back and say, you know what? There's some things we need. There's some great, great Christian counselors in this city. Our pastor is one of them. Tim Lusk is a phenomenal mm-hmm. counselor. There's other good guys and women that can do that. And I would just really encourage you to step back. Don't take a casual attitude toward divorce and marriage. It is a sacred and a permanent thing that God wants. And one man, one woman.
Let me just say something real quick, and okay. I don't want to get on my rampage about counseling, but I think I always say I don't do counseling. I do discipleship. View it that way. If you're in a tight and you're in a difficult situation, you need discipleship. Mm-hmm. You need community. You need truth. And you know, Doug, what's striking to me when you look at what Jesus did. Now, here's Jesus. He is the Word that became flesh.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do? He takes him back to the Word. You and I talked about this last week, that when we teach, we often Our messages are packed with Scripture because Scripture supports Scripture. Scripture is going to support. Jesus brings him back. Have you not read?
Mm.
Boy, what a great model for us, even when we are discipling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about your opinion. You know, it's like I was having lunch yesterday with a good buddy of mine, and he had gone to some small group or something, and the person said they read the Scripture and then threw out this really challenging question. Well, what do you think? I always hate that question.
I know, man.
I don't really care what you think. Yeah. I care what God thinks.
What do you think?
And God's desire,
what does this mean to you?
Yeah, what does it mean to you? Here's the thing, is that God desires, you know, you think about happiness. You know, Doug, you've been married 35 years. I've been married almost 33 years. It hadn't all been a bed of roses.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
I'm surprised.
And you know what? Your parents are listening, possibly, who I know have been married how many years? 60?
Oh, my gosh, over 60.
60? I bet they would testify that even though there were hard times, and there will be more hard times to come, God uses those
mm-hmm.
to make us look like his son.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's where the happiness comes. That's where the joy comes, is to know that God is, he is producing in you, in the midst of very difficult, challenging times. Could be a marriage, could be children, could be job, could be finances, could be all those things.
Mm-hmm.
That he's using those.
He does use them. And you know, he goes on, Jesus goes on after he talks about the relational loyalty to make it even more, I think, a stronger bond than just the loyalty of one person to another, a covenant loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
He says you're one flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
He says it's like one person. So if you cut one off, it's like cutting your arm off.
Right.
Or your leg off. I mean, he is, you're no longer two but one. This is an inseparable union. You're greater together than apart, even though you may not feel that. There's this permanent monogamous with opposite sex relationship, mm-hmm. that is bonding like one being. When I see you, Brad, I think of Vicky.
Yep,
when you see
right.
me, you should mm-hmm. think of Lord.
That's
we're
right.
together.
Yep.
We're not apart. And, you know, I know a lot of married couples that live lives apart. They just
travel separately. Yeah.
Well, they don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't even know, like, what their wife's or husband's favorite drink is or mm-hmm. food is, or, you know, they don't know because they don't spend time together.
Yeah, and I think there, and we could probably spend a whole hour talking about
not
this
that
kind
we,
of thing.
Not that we have everything perfect
oh,
either.
My
no,
word.
I want to make
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely not.
You know, we're still learning
yeah.
in the process.
But you know, it's interesting, Doug. I think I remember talking to my own parents about this. It'd be interesting if your parents come join you tomorrow here in the
yeah.
studio. Yeah, you talk about couples that have been married longer than you and I. And I think we've been married a pretty good while. You know, what are the things, what are some things that really helped strengthen your marriage? Obviously, you and I would both agree, time in the Word, time in prayer. You know, I think of this word that he says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast, various translations to that. Did you ever, when you were a kid, did you and your brother ever ride bikes together? Like, I'm talking about
yeah,
where
yeah,
he
yeah.
would...
Yeah, 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 and you hold on
yeah,
to
he
him.
Would
yeah.
hold, that's the picture. It's
mm-hmm.
it's this holding... Because it may not be a smooth ride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can tell you, my parents, if my mother were alive, she would say their marriage was rich and great
yeah.
because of the hard times.
Well, yeah. I
that's
mean, you
what
grow
makes
stronger.
You, strong.
You go through them and you grow stronger. And I do want to... It's really important that, and sometimes people don't like this last part that Jesus said when he said, what God has joined together, don't let man separate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important. This is God's divine work. That's the fourth principle there. So God's original design, one man, one woman, God commanded man to stick like glue to his wife, relational loyalty. He decreed that man and woman were one flesh. And finally, it's a divine work. And so what God brings together, we shouldn't separate. He hates divorce. And this is, you know, marriage is a binding, permanent, sacred thing. That should be our view. He hates divorce. The only thing that changed a marriage in the Old Testament was adultery. And it led to death of a man. It was the
mm-hmm.
death that happened. So divorce was always incompatible with God's purpose. Unless there was relentless, persistent lifestyle of sexual immorality, adultery, that then God, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted it. But we shouldn't have a view toward the exception. We should mm-hmm. say, this is our standard mm-hmm. we want to go for. And that's all we're going to say.
You and I have both experienced men and couples who have gone through the sin of adultery and have come out on the other side for God's glory.
Yeah.
And it can be done. So, hey, we're done.
Yeah. Well, listen, I want to leave this question. In light of what we shared today, what do I need to do in my own marriage in light of God's instruction? So,
good to be with you,
yeah,
Doug. Glad you joined us. SWAT ready. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park.